Catch the NBA playoffs on Sling TV, the most flexible live TV streaming service, putting consumers in control to watch games their way with flexible subscriptions. Want to catch one game or a full series on ESPN? Grab a 1, 3, or 7-day pass. If you want to catch as many games as possible, get a monthly subscription with our ABC, NBC, and ESPN combo package. Either way, Sling lets you watch the playoffs your way with no long-term contracts. Learn more at sling.com.
What's up, y'all? It's your boy Dante Miles back in the building for another episode of the High and Outside Podcast. But before we start today, it wouldn't be right if we didn't start with a quick rest in peace to two Atlanta legends. You know, I had to throw in the World Series hat from 1994. We lost Ted Turner, founder of CNN, former Braves owner, founder of the TBS and Superstation, one of the reasons so many of us knew the Braves and watched the Braves when we were growing up. And then a few days later, legendary Braves manager Bobby Cox passed away. So two titans in Atlanta, two people who have a lot of history in this city, and unfortunately they are, you know, passed away. They lived great lives. Both were well in the 80s, and, you know, it's just sad to see them go. But, you know, we had to start the show with a quick RIP to those two great pieces of Atlanta history. That's truly what you can call them. That's truly what they are and what they mean. I know to their families, they were much more than that. But to us, they provided a lot of history that we all enjoyed. So, you know, rest in peace to those two gentlemen. Now bring my amazing crew in. We're still running a three-man weave. Got Malik, got Sid. How you feeling? Sid, I know you're feeling good. The Knicks just swept, took over Philly, which was disgusting.
MSG East, baby. It's MSG.
As much as we talk about that fan base and, you know, how great they are, that was pathetic. You know, that would never happen in the United Center. You lost your mind if you think the Knicks would take over the United Center. But here we are, you know. Ooh. Sweet. But that, we're going to talk about – well, no, I'll let you get your shit off first about that before we get into baseball.
Honestly, man, back-to-back Eastern Conference Finals in 2 years, that's the only time that's ever happened in my life, which is really cool. But – job not done. Like, we still got to get 8 more wins. Like, that, the players seem to think that an Eastern Conference Finals is cool, but, like, I want to see the Knicks go to the finals. I want to see the Knicks win. So yeah, like, it's cool to see. It's great to know that another year of Joel Embiid not making an Eastern Conference Finals jokes are, like, always going to hit. So, like, you know, but, you know, business is business. I didn't think it was going to be 4 games. I could tell you that much, but hey.
Yeah. Yeah, no, but they got it done. Like, you know, I expected a much tougher series, but I mean, at the end of the day, the Knicks have been really good. You know, they wanted to, I would probably say, outside of OKC, they've been playing the best.
Yeah. Dominant basketball in a way that I have not seen from the Knicks for any of my lifetime. It's always been scrappy underdog Knicks one way or another. And, you know, to be said about scrappy and underdogs, but still, like, this is a good team. They're playing good basketball with a damn good coach, even that has broken my criticisms about him. So,
I wouldn't mind seeing a repeat of, you know, our childhood finals, the Knicks and Spurs. I think that would be fun.
Yo, I want the 99 run back so bad. So, like, imagine as a kid, you are getting into sports. 1999. Oh, yeah, this is the Knicks. They're pretty cool. They go to the finals. Cool. 2000. Your boys go to the World Series and then lose. Wasn't a kind time for my childhood, but, like, we'll be all right. Like, you know, there's always tomorrow. There's always next year. The New York sports motto, including for my putrid New York Mets right now. People can't really see it. I'm wearing my Baseball is Cinema shirt. Baseball is a horror movie for the Mets right now. So, like, but cinema nonetheless. So what can you do?
Yeah, man. But speaking of baseball, baseball is cinema right now in Chicago, on both sides of town. You know how I feel about the Chicago White Sox, but we'll hold off on that for just a second. The Chicago Cubs are currently the best team in baseball. They have been playing amazing ball. Right now, the offense doing a lot of heavy lifting. The pitching's been doing good as well, but the offense, man, the 6 in home runs, their 4th in RBIs, their 1st in walks, and they're 19th in strikeouts. So they're putting the ball in play, and they're getting on base, and they are hitting the ball out of the ballpark, man. Pitching, like I said, 9th in total ERA, 8th in I have terrible handwriting. You got to forgive me. 5th in whip, but just like I said, doing the damn thing. And right now you're seeing, more than anything, a team that's actually buying in. You see that, you know, the cohesiveness of this unit. We've always been sat here and been critical of Craig Counsell and say, hey, you know, you're the highest paid manager in baseball. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with this roster? You see, PCA has really accepted his role on this team. You know, he goes out and says what he needs to say as a leader on this team. And the results have been there, bro. I think, you know, adding Alex Bregman to the left side of your infield with Dansby Swanson. You already had Nico Hoerner. So you have a gold glove infield. The defense is A1, but you talk about the team who we've really tried to wait and really see what were they going to do, who were they going to add. And there's been a lot of internal pieces that have been doing the job, man. So I'll ask Sid first. What do you feel about the Cubs? Is this something that they can sustain? Or is this a situation where it's just a hot start and we'll see where they go from there?
I mean, at this point, we are 40 games into baseball. I don't think hot start or bad start is too much of correct praxis in terms of usage there. I think some teams are rounding into exactly who they are, sans injuries. And again, that's me shooting some bail for the New York Metropolitans. But, like, if this is who the Cubs are going to be, this has been so far their best wins in terms of series wins. And just flat out numbers wise, the best team since 2016. So when you are on the heels of 10 years since your last World Series appearance, and you have a good manager, you have a gold glove infield, you have replaced the injuries in your pitching staff, a la Justin Steele. How can you say no? Like, how can you say this is a bad baseball team, or this is a team that is ready to not take a jump? And so I'm willing to say good baseball team, right? So, like, yeah, there's been some rumors that have been dispelled here and there one way or another about a certain interest in a pitcher that Craig Counsell has had before with a prior team. And I'm not going to say exactly what that is or what it is, but we all know what happened and what it was. It seems like, one, they are buying into whatever level of success that Craig Counsell wants them to have along with the process. And two, they are looking at ways to continually improve. So,
yeah,
good baseball, good team.
Yeah, and before I slide it to you, Malik, I got to tip my cap to Ian Happ and Seiya Suzuki, two of the longer tenured, especially Ian Happ. Like I said, really holding that team down right now. And especially Seiya, I think when he, you know, I know we get a lot of emphasis on his defense and how, you know, or lack thereof, but he's been one of the best hitters in baseball for a minute now that we don't talk about. He's been really consistent for the Cubs. He drives in a lot of runs, makes great contact. Somebody that, like I said, again, this Cubs team, they haven't added that big free agent piece that everybody wants to see them do, that big splashy move. But it may turn out to be one of those situations where they didn't need to. They just needed to give it time like they planned on doing and just letting Craig Counsell coach up this young roster. Malik, how you feel about the Cubs?
I got a great impression of the Cubs, at least Friday night, getting to watch them out here in Texas. But Saturday and Sunday, I think, might be outliers. Shut out on back-to-back days for the first time this season. I think that's just fantastic start from Jacob DeGrom. Your boy Sid probably had the best start of his Ranger career. Jack Leiter on Saturday with a solid start, and then the bullpen was able to shut him down. So not much coming from that Cubs offense. But before that, like you were mentioning earlier, I believe I was talking with some people up at the ballpark today. I believe Ian Happ and Michael Busch are top 10 in pitches seen this year. We see the low strikeout numbers, the high averages, and something that really impresses me about them is the depth of their lineup. Adding Alex Bregman, who's one of, to me, I don't think he's one of the most talented baseball players. There's some guys who are like superior athletes. Bregman's not a super athlete. He has to be a great hitter to keep playing baseball. He's been that since his days in Houston. But with him starting, you got a young guy that they see potential in, like Matt Shaw on the bench. They were able to get Michael Conforto, who's hitting 364 and who's still not playing full time. Their catcher Moises, I'm probably going to butcher his last name, but Ballesterios. Another guy
I've never heard of. Yeah, Gary Cohen called him that when we went to Chicago. Yeah, and he ran off two big homers against us. Oh my gosh, that guy is sick.
Yeah, six homers, LPS above 800. So just looking at their lineup depth, they can attack you in so many different ways. The starting pitching, something else that impresses me. No Cade Horton this year. Justin Steele out. Matthew Boyd injured. Who knows what he was doing? Probably was out there hooping with the homies, and he's claiming his kids and what put him down with a bad knee. But even in today's loss, the 1-0 loss, you have a guy like Jameson Taillon, a veteran 4-5 starter, giving them six innings of one earned run ball. That's enough to get a dub when you're playing with a team like the Cubs. So I definitely think they're going to be threats for the year to come. Obviously, the biggest dog out in the National League that everybody looks to beat is the Dodgers. And so you got to think if they can pitch with them, they can for sure match their bats, despite the super team that Shohei Ohtani and Kyle Tucker on that other side.
Yeah, man. It's going to be an interesting season. I think the National League, as usual, it's going to be a dogfight. We're going to have some really good teams. And the way the National League Central plays, man, they beat up each other a lot. So it's one of those things where when they get to the playoffs, how healthy will the Cubs be? And will they be ready to go?
Because, yeah, you know, good for me to see. Because as I was growing up watching baseball in the Andrew McCutchen, Ryan Braun, Prince Fielder, Brandon Phillips days of the NL Central, it was always competitive. I feel like for the last few years, and just being in, I've already gotten to see three of the NL Central teams. Seeing them this season after watching, you know, nobody really popped since the damn Cubs won the World Series. It's been a division of mid. Now one of the better divisions in baseball, stars all around. And we don't even mention the Milwaukee Brewers, who've won that division the last few years.
That's facts, bro. That is true. We act like they don't exist usually because they're, you know, in and out of the playoffs. It's usually a very quick exit. Mm-hmm. But, you know, still going to stay in Chicago just for a minute. You know, I don't want to, you know, boast and brag too much because then people say, you know, here you go, you're a fake fan, X, Y, and Z. I know last year, a few years ago, we wrote them off. We were angry. But we're back. Chicago White Sox, 19-21. Big series coming up with the Kansas City Chiefs. They just took two out of three from the Seattle Mariners. My boy, Murakami, it is not a fluke, people. The rumors are already circulating that they're trying to work on an extension. They realize what they have. They realize how important the Japanese market is. And you know what? Like you just said, say 40 games in, it's not a fluke. This is who this guy is. You know, he hit a home run to start this series off. And once again, it's been just a powerhouse in that lineup. Speaking of that lineup, this is one thing I want to talk about. Miguel Vargas, shout out to the Dodgers. The Dodgers give away a lot of talent. People don't talk about this, but they do. Miguel Vargas was traded here last year. Colson Montgomery, I've been talking to Malik about this kid for like 3 or 4 years. The Corey Seager comparisons are looking legit. He's top five in defensive run saved at shortstop. 6'5". Talk to me. Stop playing. Colson Montgomery, Miguel Vargas, and Muni Munetaka have combined for 34 home runs so far this year. That is more than six teams. And that's only three of the guys. Oh, yeah, Kyle Teal starts his rehab. He's on his way back. So, we haven't even talked about Brayden Montgomery, who's down in AAA. He's still a hit machine, still running all over the place. Noah Schultz has come up. He's looked like he belongs. Another tall lefty. You know, you saw what we had with Chris Sale, with Garrett Crochet. You know, the pitching development has always been there for the White Sox. For some reason, we've just never been able to put the full team together. But now you're starting to see in this second rebuild of the 2020s, a lot of pieces are starting to fall into place. And so, like I said, you got a big series coming up with Kansas City, and then you got the Cubs coming into town. I know for those of us from Chicago, you hate seeing the crosstown series in May. This is something that's supposed to be in the summertime. Like, seeing it this early, it's kind of weak. But also, we have opportunity to see it with both teams playing really well, playing some really good baseball. The Sox are playing okay. The pitching has cooled down a little bit. Davis Martin has been amazing. He'll probably be an all-star. I won't say he'll start the all-star game, but he will definitely represent the White Sox at the all-star game. So, I want to ask you guys. So, with Kyle Teal, Braden Montgomery, and we'll even include Noah Schultz in that because he's one of the younger prospects. What's most important for this next step with the White Sox? Because we see a lot of teams, you know, who have a ton of prospects. Then you'll see them go all in on prospects, or you'll see them start to flip prospects and move. Obviously, I think it's too soon to try to speed up this rebuild. But where do you go next with the, like I said, with the Braden Montgomery, with the Noah Schultz? How do you handle this if you're the White Sox? Because you have the potential to start this off with a great foundation.
I think they should take a few, not the old Oakland A's, who have sold off more all-stars probably than the Dodgers whenever they are pumping it up. Recently, we've seen them. We saw, of course, Lawrence Butler come up. We saw Brent Rooker. We saw Shea Langeliers. And then now we're seeing Jacob Wilson gets paid, and Nick Kurtz, he'll be up next to get paid. They slowly started adding those top prospects to their team, and they're letting them all get out there and sort of play with house money. And then we saw, some good bullpen moves that the A's made this past offseason, bringing in a Leiter. And then you see them get their ace, at least, in Severino last offseason. I think that should be what the White Sox want to do. I understand that the AL Central isn't the most top-heavy division, but I wouldn't want to sell off on all those guys. You know, maybe bring in a veteran that can help here and there, but yet let the young bucks play. Will Venable, former Texas Rangers manager, is out there. Good to see him doing his thing, but let the young guys play and really just pray on their health. Hopefully they stay healthy. If they're able to stay healthy for the duration of this season, whatever happens is what it is, but I feel like next season that sets themselves up to sort of take this division that I don't think it's too far fetched to go and snatch the AL Central. We've seen the Royals come up quickly with the ascension of Bobby Witt, and you know, now you got Mikel Garcia and Vinny and their perennials in that division. But I think shortly for sure that the White Sox will be able to compete with the core that they have right now.
Oh yeah, bro. I'm gonna say, this last batch, they definitely won't be getting traded no time soon. Sid, how you feel?
I'm actually going to take a different approach, not because I believe different, but just because, you know, we got to keep some stuff fresh in this show. I think there are a lot of stars that are going to be available, and I think there are going to be stars, namely stars that have been moved off of their primary position, who are going to be available and will make for some interesting noise. You know, the original sin for the White Sox was the James Shield and the Fernando Tatis trade. Fernando Tatis, as we all know, there is a new owner in San Diego now. There's also a decline in power in Fernando Tatis this year, and maybe it's time to find a new home. Maybe that new home can be the old home. And, you know, I don't think that is something that will command the best of the crops in the South Side of Chicago, but I do think it is something that should at least be discussed because, again, all of these prospects can't work out. Like, that's simply not how baseball works, right? And so when baseball does work out, you have a nice mix of what the Cubs are doing. You have veteran talent. You have guys who are coming up. You have potentially really good players like Matt Shaw who are able to sit the bench because you have someone like Bregman who is a veteran and, like Malik said, bat to ball skills and are just simply able to continue to produce. And maybe Fernando Tatis is that guy for the White Sox. So yeah, I'd say maybe look into it, if nothing else.
Yeah. I think that's the thing. I think you're going to have options. Options are beautiful. But it's, like I said, based on your last rebuild, you've seen that going full prospects doesn't always work. You know, it rarely works out. We've had, you know, certain situations. But, and I know that going the prospect route keeps the payroll low. But even, you know, and we've talked about the salary cap with the floor and all of that. Even if you have a floor, the Chicago White Sox payroll right now is around $89 million. And it'll be even lower next year. So you literally have no choice but to spend money. So, I mean, I don't see why you wouldn't go with your best prospects. And then as some of these lower prospects, like we've seen Caleb Bonner going crazy in the minor leagues. Billy Carson, we drafted him last year. Probably going to be a platinum glove shortstop. But the hit tool does not. Hasn't been there yet. It's still early. He's 19. He's a prep guy. So, you know, you still have time for him to develop into that hit tool. But you're going to have some pieces where you have to ask yourself. Because like you said, every prospect doesn't pan out. So if you can move some guys and get some guys, you know, what does that look like?
When does the Benintendi contract end? The best contract in.
I want to say this year. It's close. Because we have a lot of money. We have money coming off the books.
It's Jerry Reinsdorf. You have a lot of money. You just yeah.
But I mean, again, as we all know, 2029 starts the beginning of the Ishbia era. Maybe he's whispering in his ear, you know, keep a couple guys, pay for a
couple. Yeah,
2027 for Benintendi's deal to end.
Okay, so next year.
So again,
is that team option or player option for next year?
That lines you up almost perfectly to say, hey. Maybe the Padres are trying to do less. Let's try to do a little bit more. And, you know, there are other guys, too, that you could certainly take a look at. Like, let's throw it out there. Maybe a Rafael Devers. Like, it would have to be someone who already has their money and probably isn't going to get a second contract. And then, like, if you really, really want to shake some shit up, like, if you really want to, hit up the Mariners and see what Julio's hitting for. Like, just check. Like, the worst they can say is no, but, like, there are names out there that people, and as we know, baseball owners are willing to say, yeah, let's just do it. Like, that's how the Mets got Francisco Lindor. And changed my broke-ass life, so... Yeah.
No, you're absolutely right. We definitely gonna get into, you know, early trademark. It's only been 40 games, quarter of the season. So we're gonna get into that though, because I do think it's a lot of interesting options out there. And Sid is gonna definitely hold us down with that. But as we get into this next segment, I'm gonna pass it over to my boy Malik, because while baseball has been great in Chicago, we can't really say the same about the state of Texas. And this is both cities, of course, obviously the Dallas Rangers, the Texas Rangers, and the Houston Astros. A lot of people have been joking online. You know, people are going to dance on your grave. When you've been great for a while, once you fall, it's time for everybody to enjoy it. Unfortunately, that's just the rules of sports. We don't make them. We just enforce them. And so right now, everybody is currently dancing on the Houston Astros' grave, saying that devil magic is finally over. And it looks that way. So, Malik, whichever team you want to start with is just fun. But just give us an update on Texas baseball right now.
Well, Houston, they're the devil. They're like cockroaches. So I'm not you. You can stomp them and you can throw a flamethrower on them and you can literally blow the house up. I'm not thinking that horse is dead just yet. Something the AL West just isn't competitive enough for me to think they're completely dead. However, it is looking pretty grim. Injuries to Hunter Brown, injuries. Jeremy Pena can't stay healthy. The Carlos Correa freak accident, I think, may be the cherry on top, though. Tendon injury to his foot during batting practice, of all things, out for the whole season. The whole Paredes, Christian Walker, Jeremy Pena, Correa, they saw that infield, I believe, for 4 games. So that idea from Dana Brown, who, whenever they acquired Carlos Correa anyways, I don't think a lot of people thought that would work out because of the positions that people play. Paredes didn't play first base. He wasn't fully comfortable at second. You had this Altuve fiasco. moving him up and down. And then, I mean, we even losing off a guy like you see in Atlanta, Mauricio Dubon, who's balling out there, giving up on him. Just not a lot has worked out for Houston. They've made a lot of trades to stay competitive over the years, acquiring Josh Hader for minor league for some people. And now Hader's on the shelf still. Haven't heard when he's getting back here soon. So there's going to have to be some decisions to be made. One of the worst pitching staffs, bullpen-wise, in all of baseball. Of course, everybody's looking at the top dog, Yordan. What are they going to do with him? That's probably the only player that you could sell extremely high on. If I'm Houston, though, man, it's tough for me to not make that my building block. But at some point, you just don't have a choice. Dana Brown has always been a proactive GM, though, so I do think that until they're at their last breath, he's going to do anything he can to stay competitive and not go into a rebuild. I don't expect much from the Astros. We'll see how they play the Texas Rangers next weekend in that rivalry week series. But for sure, a disappointing series for them. But like I said, don't make sure you stomp out those roaches and you kill it. You kill it and you beat it with a hammer. Down here in Arlington, I think the struggles, you can really point at the Rangers' offensive struggles, and you can look at Corey Seager. He's been the horse, the catalyst for the offense for years. And like you guys say, we're 40 plus games through the season. This might not be a year where he's hitting in the high 200s and he's blasting 30 home runs. I personally think the speed of his bat has gone down. He is unlucky even today. Warning track fly balls, they don't count for home runs. But he is having points of hard contact. You're seeing a lot of struggle in the offense. Evan Carter, World Series hero, dealt with multiple back injuries. The man has like two hits against left-handed pitching all season. That's not playing. No power from the catcher spot. Josh Jung, former first-round pick, is showing a lot of life. I believe he was him. Yordan won April Player of the Month. I think Josh Jung, he deserved that award for his turnaround. And you see a good ball from Ezekiel Duran. With the Texas Rangers, I think starting pitching in general is going to be what carries them and what's going to be have to carry them. Offensively, there's not much there. And I don't think that this offense is ever going to get hot to a point to where there's a big, say, a 10-game winning streak like how the Cubs did. They're going to have to grind out everything and be thankful that they're playing in a division that currently the Sacramento A's lead. And we see they're playing in the minor league park. Their pitching isn't at superb. So I think that's how the Rangers are going to be able to compete. And then one of my last comments is Rangers have traded off too many prospects and they've swung and missed at a few of these deals. The Merrill Kelly trade last season didn't make sense to me. Pitching wasn't the issue, yet you trade multiple guys for a starting pitcher and then who's a free agent. And then you don't make an effort to re-sign him. So in addition to losing him, you also lost like four or five prospects. Then you go and trade for Mackenzie Gore. I saw the potential, but you just drafted a guy with your first. I believe he was the 10th pick, top guy last year. You trade your top pick for him when in a team that's strong pitching. And so now you look at this coming trade deadline. There's not a whole lot of ammunition for you to go get a guy who we'll talk about later in Fernando Tatis Jr. Hell, I'll say it early, a guy like Bryce Harper, who his GM calls him out, and you know, you don't know the stability with him. First base has been a hole for the Rangers for years. Your first-round pick from last year would have been a nice piece to throw in. Now you have to consider a guy like Evan Carter. What's he going to be? You can't keep a guy in center field and invest in him who's a platoon player, especially when you can go move off somewhere else. So, definitely two different struggles because Houston, they get it done with their offense still. The Rangers, they can't hit for crap. Houston can't pitch for crap. Rangers can. I do think, though, with the Rangers have had a tough schedule. But when you don't hit, everybody's tough. So it doesn't matter. But in terms of, I guess, record-wise, it'll get a little easier. But they'll have to show me to prove. So, definitely more optimistic in the success for the Texas Rangers than down in Houston. But if the Rangers don't start hitting, don't start getting more than two guys in the lineup to produce at the same time, I see another year of going playoffless after the 2023, what looks like miracle Washington Nationals-like World Series run.
Yeah, bro. Sid, I know you said you had something you wanted to say about the Astros. What you want to talk about?
Pour it out. It's over. And we'll talk about it a little bit more later, but you got to have discussions about Yordan. You got to have discussions about Tetsuya Imai. You have to have discussions about the process. I know they brought in Joey Loperfido, like back that brought that guy back in, but you know, when you are moving your franchise guy through places to kind of just do things, it's not a good look. I think Christian Walker is prime candidate to go to the Mets. Like, we'll give away a nothing burger for him and get a consistent first baseman with some pop there. But I think it's over, man. The Astros are – it's – look, man, Satan magic has to come to roost eventually. And I would also make that same deal for the Mets to have half of that success. So, like, enjoy it while it lasted because it's not coming back for a long time.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things in modern day sports. We focus so much on the negative and the downfall, but you're talking about one of the greatest runs we've ever seen.
Like 8-9 years. Like period. It started in 2017.
Yeah.
It's ending in 2026.
We saw Dusty get a ring. We saw a lot. Like, we saw some great things.
What more can you ask for? And like, yeah, cheating scandal aside, like, everyone in baseball cheats. It's a cheater's game. They just did it better. So, like, salute to them, boys. Houston, however, you do have a problem. It's your baseball team, and it's not very good.
Yeah, I'm going to say it was fun while it lasted, but now it's over. Yep. And as we move on, I'm going to combine two topics. Mm-hmm. I was at the game when Tarese Skubal called the trainer out and felt some discomfort in his elbow against the Braves. Now, he stayed in that game. But eventually they found out that he needed surgery. He had some loose bodies in his left elbow. They had those removed. So glad he found it. Glad he got it done. So my question to you is, so two in one. What does this do for the AL Central race? And what does this do to the early trade market? If you're Detroit, you try to bring in some some backup just in case, because he will be out for a second. And we know how that division is. Or is it more of a situation where this just hurts him more as he heads into free agency next season? So, Sid, I'll start with – no, actually, Malik, I'll start with you because I know, Sid, you have more to talk about on the early trade market.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So, Sid, talk to me about Skubal and this injury real quick.
In terms of injury, Scott Boras' client in a contract year, protect the assets, protect your neck. That's what it seems to be from the outside looking in. The loose bodies thing is always a little weird, but in terms of how it goes for the race, the AL Central is just someone could win that division with like going under 500. Not because like it's just one of those really weird divisions. It's kind of like the NL Central where like what's going on. But yeah, like I think Tarek Skubal will be fine. I'm not sure what what they do in terms of like what the team looks like, just because the Framber situation is so strange. It seems like a point of contention that everyone says out loud, but nobody actually wants to do anything about. And it gets weird when your manager gets suspended for comments on like your team, and it looks even weirder when you consistently have these issues with trying to hurt guys. So like, if that's going to be their big guy moving forward, doesn't bode well, I don't think.
Well, speaking on Skubal, like Sid said, I don't know if he's going to come back to pitch this year, honestly. Like, the dude didn't want to go throwing this WBC because he wanted to stay for the – we can say it. His goal is to get big money contracts. I don't know if he goes to pitch. And I don't even want to say that it's the point to where he'll lose money off of it, because I watched Kyle Tucker have no right knee, struggle with the Chicago Cubs, and get almost $300 million from the Los Angeles Dodgers. So I do think that Skubal can still get paid. Do I think he comes back this season? I have more doubts on that than opposed to him getting a big contract. But there have been other injuries to the Detroit Tigers starting rotation too. Casey Mize out. You know, this Framber situation. Jack Flaherty is still just hasn't been as consistent as he needs to be. So I definitely think Detroit is going to make another move for a starting pitcher. As far as the AL Central, you know, we see the Guardians in it all year. I'm seeing the Royals are probably the hottest team out the group, 7-3 in their last 10. Cole Reagan's their starting pitcher. I saw him a few days ago, I believe. He's dealing with some arm issues as well, so they'll have to check that out. But as Kansas City plays better, Bobby Witt, of course, he was getting on base a little. He wasn't scoring any runs to begin the season. Jack Caglione playing a little better. I think that sort of opens the door for them to come out the Central. The Tigers have to find some offensive consistency too. But as far as their starting pitching, I definitely think you have to make a move. Is it a big piece? How big that fish is, I don't know, because you have to assume that they're assuming that, man, we might not be able to – we might not see Skubal. They have to act as if they might not have Tarik Skubal pitching for them again. And then, I mean, I don't mind. I did like the Framber move, but we're seeing much of the same that we saw from last season. So from a leadership standpoint, and ace, a guy that you put as the face of your franchise – you might have to find another big dog to go around from Framber, because certain stuff that he does just is unacceptable. And AJ Hinch he's going to ride for him. He was his original manager down there in Houston. I'm sure he rode for them to get him, and he's going to have his back even when he's down 10-0 and gave up multiple home runs and hit somebody in the back on purpose.
Yeah, bro, it's gonna be interesting. Sid, I'm gonna toss it back to you for the trade market in a second. But speaking of the trade market, it seems like the Giants are kind of waving the white flag a little early. You know, trading two-time Gold Glove catcher to the Cleveland Guardians. Not trying to mess his name up. So, Patrick Bailey, yes, got rid of him for the 26th draft pick. I don't remember the last time I saw somebody of this caliber being traded for a draft pick. But, you know, maybe this is just more the new age. Hey, we got a college coach. We got Buster Posey, former player, doing it a little different. And, you know, this is how they want to construct their roster that way. But, Sid, what do you make of this move? And then just before we wrap up, because we're getting closer to our time, talk to us a little bit about this early trade market and just some of the things you're seeing.
Yeah. In terms of this move, you know, baseball has kind of said – one, the Giants will be fairly unconventional, whether that be the trade of the trades that they've made before or whether that be the trade that they've made this year. They're going to be unconventional, like you said, a college manager and getting rid of your Gold Glover. I've heard that they have a guy coming up whose name I'm missing on just because they said his name on the Mets broadcast the other day. But again, that, you know, that seems to be what you know the calculus for baseball is now. It is more so let's get our guys in, let's try to be like not as rigid, let's try to make sure that we are you know, giving our young guys a chance, especially with newer managers. You know, because you want your guy that you picked, you want your guys that you've developed your way, and you know, Buster Posey has done it in that uniform, so let's give him a shot. In terms of trade market, so let's just do a quick around the league breakdown. There are some pretty passive rumors about Freddie Peralta possibly being traded to the Cubs. There's always the what is Mike Trout going to do? I'm going to tell you right here, right now, and I'll go back and wipe the egg off my face later if I need to, but Mike Trout is not leaving Anaheim. He's fine with his career everyone is fine with his career. I've not heard much about the Bryce Harper trade market, but again, when you have your manager and your or your former manager and your GM talking about, is this guy a special talent? It gets iffy.
He said Bryson Stott needs to be an everyday player, and then the next day Mattingly said, sir, no.
I mean, hey, man. I mean, the disconnect only seems to be growing more and more between, you know, the GMs and the managers, and it seems like they're not as lockstep in. And I think this is a sign of the times when it comes to the lockout. And like I said earlier, you can and should kick tires on, let's say, a handful of guys. You should kick tires on Fernando Tatis. You should kick tires on Freddie Peralta and Clay Holmes. You should even try to kick some tires on Francisco Lindor if you're really into that type of thing. You should probably try to kick some tires on Yordan Alvarez. You should probably even kick some tires on Matt Shaw just in case. You could probably even kick tire on some of the guys over for the A's. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, oh yeah, I'm just looking at that A's team. I know he's been struggling this year, but I'm starting to worry about my guy Lawrence Butler might not be able to make it till they get to Las Vegas.
Exactly.
Hitting under 200. I see him getting picked off every 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Just hasn't, and they're guys who there's one outfield spot out there. You know, you got Soderstrom, you got Rooker, you got Carlos Cortez kind of creeping up on you. There's only so many spots for those A's. So mm-hmm. Law Dog's definitely one of the guys I think could go somewhere. Tradable contract. Yeah.
And like, you could even maybe kick some tires on Mookie Betts. Like, you know, there's just a litany of names and guys who you can and should look at. And even for the Mets, kick some tires on Christian Walker, like I said earlier in the show. You need a first baseman. You need a big bat in the lineup. And I understand it's still pre-Memorial Day, but 15 and 25 is abysmal. And, like, there's no sugarcoating it. Like I said, baseball is cinema, but right now it's a horror movie in Queens. And, yeah, you got to do something. So, you know, it might be time to put up a little bit earlier than you may have wanted to for these teams, just because, you know, if we're going to be bottom feeders and we're going to be bad, we should do the right thing and make sure that, one, guys who are producing are able to have good years. And even someone like Jose Uriano for the Angels, even kick a tire on him. He's one of the best pitchers in the AL right now. So, like, you know, there is a market for everything and everyone in this world, and capitalism is a race to the bottom. And so let's, you know, if the Mets are going to be bad, let's make a race to the bottom.
Yes, bro. I know my head has been turning a lot. I think Wimby's about to get ejected from this game for a flagrant foul. He just elbowed Naj Reid in the neck. And it looked pretty intentional.
We'll see.
But let's go ahead and wrap this thing up, man. Malik, you just saw the Cubs. I will be seeing the Cubs 5 times this week, 3 times here in Atlanta and twice back home in Chicago if you're at the game. Friday, I'll be sitting in section 119. Saturday, I don't know where I'll be sitting at, but come have a drink with me. Come on, let me, bro. I'll be there at the Cubs game against the Chicago White Sox. But Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, they will be here in Atlanta right now. The probable pitchers in Atlanta probably won't release theirs until tomorrow. Right now, the Cubs have already released theirs. You got Colin Ray going Tuesday. He's 4-1 with a 4.3 ERA. You got Shota Ivanga going Wednesday, 4-2 with a 2.28 ERA. And on Thursday, you got Ben Brown going 1-1 with a 1.82 ERA. Malik, I already know what's going on with me. Wimby was ejected from the game. It's going to be tough. But again, just real quick, what do you expect this week? Because, I mean, the Braves, fresh off taking 2 out of 3 from the Dodgers out in L.A., big series, big road trip. I know they finally dropped the series, but they're still, again, second best team in baseball record wise. They're playing out of their minds. Pitching staff is pitching well. Drake Baldwin, as Sid likes to call him, the second coming of Mike Piazza, has still been hitting the cover off the ball, you know, and this is a team that's getting reinforcements. Spencer Strider is back. Sean Murphy's coming back. So you have a team. Sung Kim is coming back. So you're really going to have some options while we wait for Ronnie to get off the IL with that hamstring injury. So, Sid, Sid, I'll go to you first. What are you expecting from this series this weekend?
You know, burn my tongue after I say this, but Braves dominance, man. It's really hard to look at that Braves team and say they're not going to do the thing that they should be doing. They have bought in on their manager. Like you pointed out on our last show, they have the current MLB Iron Man, and he's not just an Iron Man. He's like superior Iron Man. The dude is just balling right now, and he's going to continue to ball. And they just seem to be getting buy-in from everyone. So I think it should be probably wire-to-wire all Braves, just because how can I not after – everyone knows I watch NL East baseball, that's my wheelhouse. That's what I love to watch. So it's hard for me to say, like, these are not going to be the guys to do the damn thing. So I expect some good Braves baseball. And, you know, I want to see the Cubs bounce back from being shut out. But, you know, the Braves pitching staff is good. They're very good, and they're continuing to be dominant, and they're getting the best of Chris Sale, who is aging akin to old man Logan, I think. Does he always want to do the 96-97 pump? He can't do that anymore. He's not gonna break out the metal claws, but he will when he has to. So, you know, old man Chris Sale, old man Logan, like it's a 1-to-1 comparison, man.
Yeah, Malik, bring us home, bro. How you feel? You already know how I feel. I think the spirit of, Bobby Cox and Ted Turner are going to carry this team for the rest of the season. Not to, you know, be that poetic guy, but I really think this is going to be another very good year for the Braves. I think this series, they're going to show, you know, the National League that they, you know, just took care of business with the Dodgers, and they're going to take care of business with the Cubs. So, Malik, bring us home, man. You've already seen the Cubs lose 2 out of 3 in Texas. What they got coming for us in Atlanta?
Well, if it is a slump, it's a bad time to get in it. It just happens in baseball. They've been hot all year. The bats slow down, get a little tired. Maybe they were out partying in Deep Ellum too much out in Dallas, and a day off will do them some well out in Atlanta. I think that the Cubs take – I think that the Braves will end up taking the series, but I am interested to see – maybe it's a good thing also for the Cubs. You take the L, you get back in the lab, you're back there swinging early, working hard. Hopefully they can get the offense to turn around, but after what I just saw and after what I saw the Braves do against the Dodgers, I think the Braves will take 2 of 3 in the series.
Yeah, man. So like we said, it's going to be a lot of exciting baseball this week. I'm looking forward to going home, catching my first series at Comiskey in a few years, actually. So I think that'll be fun, seeing Mooney up close, seeing Colson up close, and like we said, seeing the Cubs again.
Crazy stat on Mooney, actually. Yeah. He has hit a home run in the first game of the first 8 series so far, and yeah. I think he only played 9.
Yep. Let's keep it going. I'll see you on Friday, sir.
Hey, I am not a gambler. But if you are, game yeah. one.
Yeah, you know. I might sit in left field. No, I'm sorry. Yeah, I might sit in right field on Saturday, because between him and Colson, somebody will put something out there.
They say put a little fiver on them boys. Like,
oh yeah, we'll be back in Illinois, so we can definitely gamble. It's definitely.
Oh yeah, I just say just put a little fiver on them boys. Pay for some beers for the boys and all that. You know.
Yeah, definitely, man. But as usual, you know where to follow us. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram at BarbersChairCo. Make sure you please, please, please subscribe to the Patreon, patreon.com/BarbersChairNetwork. A lot of affordable tiers, a lot of great content. For everything else, check us out at thebcnet.com. Thank you again for Dante, Sid, Malik. This is the High and Outside Podcast, and we will see y'all probably in 2 weeks. We're going to keep it bi-weekly. It was a lot of info for you this week, but we're going to keep it coming for you. Thank y'all for following us. Thank you for tuning in. See you in 2 weeks.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1-3 and 7-day passes. Watch the Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.